ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 68, Text 48 through 54. So we'll do 48 responsibly. Namaste Sarva Bhutatman. Sarva Shakti Dharavyaya. Vishvakarman namastestu, tvam vayam sharanam gata. Namaste sarvabhutatman, sarvashakti dharavyaya. Vishvakarman namastestu, tvam vayam sharanam gata. Namaste sarvabhutatman, sarvashakti dharavyaya. Vishvakarman namaste stu, tvam vayam sharanam gata. Namaste Sarva Bhutatman, Sarva Shakti Dharavyaya. Vishakarman Namaste Stu, Tvam Vayam Sharanam Gata. Namaste Sarva Bhutatman, Sarva Shakti Dharavyaya. Vishvakarman Namaste Stu, Tvam Vayam Sharanam Gata. Adajit. Namaste Sarva Bhutatman, Sarva Shakti Dharavyaya. Vishvakarman Namaste Stu, Tvam Vayam Sharanam Gata. Namaha. Obeisances. To you. Sarva of all. Bhuta beings. Atman, O soul. Sarva of all. Shakti, energies. Dara, O holder. Avyaya, O undepletable one. Vishva of the universe. Karman, O maker. Namaha. Obeisances. Te, to you. Astu, let there be. Tvam, to you. Vayam, we. Sharanam, for shelter. Gataha, have come. Translation. We bow down to you, O soul of all beings, O wield of all potencies, O tireless maker of the universe. Offering you obeisances, we take shelter of you. Purport. The Kauravas clearly realized that their lives and destinies were in the hands of the Lord. 49. Sri Shuka Vacha, if, yeah, we could do it together. evam prapanahi samvignair vipamanayanirbala prasadita suprasano mabhaishtiti abhayam dadu. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus propitiated by the Kurus, whose city was trembling, and who were surrendering to him in great distress, Lord Balaram became very calm and kindly disposed toward them. Do not be afraid, he said, and took away their fear. 50-51. Duryodhana paribharham kunjaran stastihayanan dadaucha dodasa satani ayutani turangamam ratanam sat sahasrani raukmanam suryavachasam dashinam nishka kantinam sahasram dutirvatsala. Translation. Duryodhana, being very affectionate to his daughter, gave us her dowry, 1,260-year-old elephants, 120,000 horses, 6,000 golden chariots shining like the sun, and 1,000 maidservants with jewel lockets on their necks. 52. Prati griyatu tat sarvam bhagav satvatar shubha sa suta sa snu saha prayat shurid bir abhinandita. The Supreme Lord, chief of the Yadavas, accepted all these gifts and then departed with his son and daughter-in-law as his well-wishers bid him farewell. 53. I think this is a little different. Tatta pravishtasva puram halayuda samitya bandun anurakta chetasa sasam sasarvam yadupungavanam madye subhagyam kurushu svachetitam. Translation. Then Lord Halayuda entered his city, Dwarka, and met his relatives, whose hearts were all bound to him in love and attachment. In the assembly hall, he reported to the Yadu leaders everything about his dealings with the Kurus. And 54, we could do again together. Adyapicha puram hi etat sauchayad ramavikramam samunatam dakshinato gangayam anudrishyate. Translation. Even today, the city of Hastinapur is visibly elevated on its southern side along the Ganges, thus showing the signs of Lord Balaram's prowess. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. For the most part, it was the practice of the Kshatriya kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and the bridegroom before the marriage. When Sambha forcibly took away Lakshmana, the elderly members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased to see that he was actually the suitable match for her. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him, and without any respect for the regulation of fighting, they all arrested him. When the Yadu dynasty decided to release Sambha from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter, and as a powerful Kshatriya, he ordered them to free Sambha immediately. The Kauravas became superficially insulted by this order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable strength. Thus, with great pleasure, they handed over their daughter to Sambha, and the whole matter was settled. Duryodhana, being affectionate toward his daughter, Lakshmana, had her married to Sambha in great pomp. Balaram was very satisfied after his great reception from the side of the Kauravas, and accompanied by the newly married couple, he started toward his capital city of Dwarka. Lord Balram triumphantly reached Dwarka, where he met with many citizens who were all his devotees and friends. When they all assembled, Lord Balram narrated the whole story of the marriage, and they were astonished to hear how Balaram had made the city of Hastinapur tremble. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 68th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Marriage of Samban. Hare Krishna. Om Agyani Tirmanisya Ginanjana Shalakaya Sakshuntam Yenatasmai Sri Gurubhe Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadadi Swaparantikam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dita Gadada Sri Yasri Gavakam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I proceed on these verses, I'd like to touch on the class that Dhamraj Prabhu gave Monday. He elaborated a lot about anger. And I had to leave early, so I couldn't participate in the class, but I was listening while I was driving. Within the Vedic injunctions, one of the first rules is stated, actually when Bhishma was speaking to Yudhishthira about Vedic Dharma, he said that the suppression of anger is the foremost duty for all varnas and all ashrams. Let me say that again. The suppression of anger is the foremost duty for all varnas and all ashram. Very interesting. And then, you know, he went on with different other rules. But it's just like the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. But still we see killing everywhere. So similarly with the anger issue, people get angry all the time. And that's the reason for all these different conflicts, constantly. And so I reiterated this because it's affecting all of us in some way or the other. And so we should make a conscientious effort to curb it. Conscientious effort means that, you know, you reflect on the day. Today I didn't speak well to my friends or my children or my wife. It's not good. And so I should try to do something. If anger is coming up, take a break. Take a break or take some deep breaths or move away from the situation. You know, there's so many things. I mean, I'm sure there's so much anger management course and so. So but the reason I bring this up, because I wasn't certain if Dhamraj brought it up, but I want to bring it up back just for us to remember that that's one of our first rules within the Vedic rules and regulations that we have to follow. Suppression of anger is the foremost duty of all varnas and all ashram. All varnas and all ashram means practically everyone. See? So let us move on to the verse here. So we find that Samba, and a lot has been said about him, he went on his own to grab Duryodhana's daughter to elope with her. And maybe I'd like to say a little bit more about Samba too, that he was somewhat of a naughty kid to some degree. See what had happened after all the wives of Krishna had gotten children. Jambavati, she didn't have any child. And so it stated that Lord Krishna, and this is Leela, like Janamashtami was explaining the other day about the Leela, I like to say a little Leela thing, that Jambavati didn't have any child, and so Lord Krishna prayed to Lord Shiva. And Shiva appeared to him as Samba. Lord Shiva has a form as Samba. Let me see, there's a special name for that form. Where can I find it? But one of the name is Samba. And it means half male and half female. Half male and half female. And there's a special name for it. Did I lose it here? Anyhow, most of you must have seen Lord Shiva with the half male, half female situation. See, like there's a split here, and he's dressed as half female and half. So it's stated that that form is also called Samba. But there's a special name for it. Aradhan. Yeah, say it a little louder. Yeah, Haribol. I have it somewhere here, but I just can't find it now. My clumsy nose. Yeah. So then this child was gotten to Krishna. But Krishna purposely asked Lord Shiva for this. And the reason for that is because Shiva takes part in the destruction of the universe at the end of the age. And so Samba would also help in this way in annihilating the Yadu dynasty, if you know the whole story, where he would actually dress as a woman. And I don't know if that thing has anything to do with the whole situation. When he dressed as a woman and the sages saw truth and cursed the dynasty and everything. But this is taken from the Samba Purana. Actually have the Samba Purana there, really, where he's been. So that's been set up. And there's much more out of him, really. I mean, he was a powerful fighter, of course. And so when he went to this place, he kidnapped Urinandata without she being agreeable to that situation. And that type of marriage is kind of different to anybody knows what that type of marriage is called? Where he elopes with the thing. I think that type of marriage is called Rakshasa. See? Rakshasa, meaning he eloped by force. But then after they captured him and they would get him married, then it would be like a daiva wedding. You know, the parents agree and everything. So that's there. So the personalities that actually captured Samba are significant. We may read it as a simple force, but some of those personalities, they're significant. There was Karna there. And Karna, his object is to become the greatest warrior on the face of the earth. That's him there. There was Duryodhan, his daughter was involved there. There was Bhishma, and Bhishma, he always wants to protect the Kuru dynasty. That's his foremost interest. And then you had Sala. I don't know so much about Sala, but it seems like he's an associate with Somadat and Burishrava. But these two names, Somadat and Burishrava, are also very significant because they were like sworn enemy of the Yadus. See? And so they were instigating, as soon as they heard that Samba captured this girl, they were there and not ready to fight. In fact, the whole Yadu had wanted to go, but Balaram, being very compassionate, he decided that he'll go and make peace. See? In fact, one of the verses said that in Kaliyuga he'd be very compassionate. And we know as Lord Nityananda how compassionate he was. Even when he was hit by Jagai and Madai, he still did not take any offense. And he begged the Lord not to actually kill them. So we see that Balaram's compassionate mood is there. And so he wanted not to have a war, because otherwise you had these powerful warriors ready to go there. You know, Satyaki, especially Satyaki. He's considered, in fact, it's stated that Satyaki, it was stated that Krishna, Arjuna, and Satyaki, they were the foremost of bowmen. See? In fact, when there was Jishma, they said he was not a fort. You see, he was very powerful. So anyhow, I'll explain a little more about the story between the Yadus and the Kurus. Lord Krishna is coming from the Solar Dynasty, or you call it the Soma Dynasty. And that is, we know there's from Lord Krishna comes Lord Vishnu, Brahma, then Atrimuni. Atrimuni is one of the ten, the mind-born son of Brahma. Then you have Soma, Buddha, Pururava, Ayu, Nahusha, Yayati, Devamrita, Surasen, Vasudeva, and Krishna. This is the lineage. Bhagavatam elaborates on this, and we should actually know this or try to remember it. This is the solar lineage. But where Yayati was concerned, he had two wives. Devayani, that was the daughter of Sukracharya, and Devayani and Sharmista. Sharmista was the daughter of some associates to Bali Maharaj. But anyhow, the two of them, Devayani got the son called Yadu. Devayani's son was Yadu. And Sharmista's son was Puru. And from Puru came Kuru. So that's how the Kuru dynasty came. See? So one, the Yadu dynasty, coming from Yadu. And then the other one was the Kuru dynasty, coming from Kuru. Then from Kuru there was Shantanu. And then Shantanu was Bhishma, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, like that. See? But one time, the brother of Vasudeva was trying to get Devaki for Vasudeva was the brother of Vasudeva, who was Shini, was trying to get Devaki to marry Vasudeva. That's his brother. So he went to a Swayamvar. And he captured her and was taking her back, wanting her to marry his brother. But Somadatta, who is a cousin of Bhishma, Somadatta, he intervened, and there was a great war that ensued. In fact, they fought for half a day. And then finally, Shini caught him by the hair and dragged him on the ground for a long time and placed his foot on his head and squeezed him. But he did not kill him. And so this is very humiliating for a Kshatriya. Very, very humiliating. And what happened, he allowed Somadatta to go away. Then Somadatta went to Lord Shiva and prayed that he would have a son that would humiliate Shini's son the same way. So Shini's son Satyaki was born, see, and Somadatta's son Burishrava was born. So there's this big feud between the two clans, see, and these guys, they are ready to go at it any time, you know, because Burishrava know he has this boon from Lord Shiva that he can grab Satyaki and mash his head on the ground because he got that boon, you see. And this would actually take place in the Mahabharata. How many of you have read the Mahabharata? Let me see hands. How many of you have read the Mahabharata? Good. Yeah, you see? Because sometimes I feel I'm the only one that remembered him about, right? I'm the only one that read it really. But yeah, it's written there really. And later on, what would happen is that then there would be a fight, and then Sataki had fought the whole day, and then at the end, Burishvarava would challenge him. And then Satyaki was really weak. Burishvarava would fight him and then knock him down, grab him by the hair, drag him, and was going to kill him. And then Arjuna cut off Burishvarava's arms because he says that Satyaki is his associate. And he told Burishvarava he should have protected himself. You see? But anyhow, the question was asked, Satyaki is such a powerful warrior, why this happened? How is it possible that Burishvarava could have dragged him on the ground? Because Satyaki is practically invincible. He's the student of Arjuna, see? And he was one of the greatest bowmen. So that's the Leela here. See how it goes. So now we'll get into a little philosophy. We'll get into a little philosophy, and then the last verse we'll touch upon. So we see within this Varnashram Dharma how these devotees are so flickering that at the least provocation, they're ready for war. So we can ask the question, how is it that these exalted devotees, they were Bhishma here, see, he was very exalted, and the other personality, Karna is an exalted personality too, of course. I mean, you know, he has his other ways, but he had some good qualities, very good qualities. How they would suddenly behave like this and turn on the Lord. And this brings us to the conversation with Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. Because Lord Chaitanya was talking to Ramananda Roy, and he asked him about the goal of human life. And to quote some verses to substantiate that, see, about the goal of human life. And the first one he spoke about was the Varnashram Dharma. You see? The exact quote he quoted from the Vishnu Puran 3:8-9. Varnashrama charavata purushena parapuman Vishnur aradyate panta nanyatat toshakarnam. He said, Lord Vishnu is worshipped by proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varnashram. There is no other way to satisfy him. One must be situated in the four Varnas and the four Ashrams. See, so that was the first quote of Ramananda Roy. But we've seen that the people of the Varnashram, how they were acting, how they immediately turned on old Balram. He's the Supreme Lord. See, ready to fight him. They were ready to disobey him. So how is this? You see, they're following the rules and regulation of Varnashram. And then Lord Chaitanya said, well, that is not enough. See, in fact, he refuted that. See, these personalities, they follow the rules and regulations, but they forget the real goal, you see? And so then he quoted the verse, yat karosi, how is it? Yat karosi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosa dadasi yat. Yat tapasisi kuntiya, tat karoshva madarpana. He says, all that you do, all that you eat, all you give in charity, everything must be done as an offering unto me. See? And Lord Chaitanya rejected that also. That is not enough. Then he went to the other force. Sarva karma partya jama mekan sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papi moksha isma suchaha. Give up all varieties of religion, surrender unto me. So he said, full surrender unto me. And Lord Chaitanya rejected that again. Then he went to another verse. All these are Bhagavad Gita verse. Brahma Bhuta Prasana Atmana Sochati Na Kanchati. Sarma Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once recognizes Brahman. He no longer laments or hankers for anything. You see? Then Lord Chaitanya would actually refute this again, because in the pursuit of Brahman realization, it's stated that part is very, very troublesome also. And he quoted the verse, Klesho Dikartara Stasham. One who meditates on the Brahman, or one who takes to the path of Brahman realization, then advancement becomes very troublesome. See? Advancement becomes troublesome. And so he rejected that again. And then Ramananda Roy would focus on some other things. He went on to say that we have to come to pure devotional service, attachment to pure devotional service. And then he quoted a verse from Padyavali. See where he says, when there is hunger in the body, one gets food, he's satiated. See? So similarly, one has articles to worship, but if there is love, then there is happiness or bliss. See, and then Lord Chaitanya got very excited and said, go on. And then he says, when one gets to prema bhakti, that is the topmost. And then when one gets to a personal relationship with the Lord, see, and then when he served in the different capacities of a servant, of a friend, as a parent, and as a lover, see, all of these. And so we've seen that when one comes to this platform, then he can achieve the goal of human life and go back to Godhead, whereby he establishes his relationship with the Lord within these categories. See? And he goes back to Godhead. So this is interesting. And we can see that these personalities, they were stringently following the Varnashram system. Stringently following the Varnashram system. But still, they had no regards for the Lord. And that is the ultimate goal, to obey the Lord and follow Him, follow His instructions. There's one other verse I want to speak about, and that is, even today the city of Hastinapur is visibly elevated on its southern side along the Ganges, thus showing the signs of Lord Balaram's prowess. I'd like to touch on this verse a little bit further. And so it's stated that today there are some people from India. Is that true? The southern part of Delhi is somewhat elevated, Prabhu? Do you sense that? I don't know, but this is a statement, and a bold statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we were to put a scientist to analyze this, they would want to prove it. For that to happen, they would actually say he had to lift the crust of the earth, the mantle of the earth. But we've seen that Balaram dismantled the mantle of the earth, see, and lifted. Actually, he was actually dragging it. Do you know these guys that when you do lawn, you cut the grass in squares, and then you pull it out? And so something like that he was doing with Hastinapur, you see? And so the scientists, first of all, they would not believe. They would doubt it. You'll have to show some proof. And so so science, to some degree, poses some real challenges for us, you see, some real challenges. And so there's a book called Life Comes From Life, and I advise every devotee to read it. Life Comes From Life. How many of you have read that book? Life Comes From Life, definitely. You see, and we get a good picture of Srila Prabhupada's mood. I would like to say this, that we have a lot of devotee scientists. You see, and we don't have anything against them. They're devotees. That's their field, they're earning their living in that, you know. But they know that also that the scientists blunder in a lot of ways and they make a lot of mistakes. Last night I was looking at a documentary. It's called The Fourth People or something like that. And I happened to see that in a cave in Australia, this guy went into this cave and he found a mega kangaroo. The head of the kangaroo was huge like this. And the kangaroo today, the head is about this size. But this one was about this size. You see? And I was happy because, you know why I was laughing? Because all along I was saying that the beings in the past ages were much bigger than the age now. And that was a great proof, you know, because I felt that that was a great proof. I mean, what they would say, you know, how they would say that. You see? So scientists, they have, you know, they're interpreting all these data, but I think that they're misinterpreting them in a lot of ways, you know. Like they're always referring to prehistoric men and speaking about the Stone Age and speaking about, but you know, but that's how they're interpreting the evidence. But from our scriptures, that's not how it goes. And for them to put these in the textbook as authentic, that's not right. I taught biology for many years in school, and I know when I was teaching about life and the origin of life, there's nothing in the book to explain. You would explain the symptoms of life, but to speak about the origin. But I would tell the children plain that actually there is a spirit soul, you know, because, I mean, I was a devotee already, you know, I would, you know, and science have no knowledge of that. They can't explain that, you know, and the kids would like it. They would say, yes, you know, there's a God and stuff like that. But we have in so many set textbooks, they pass it as theory, but even they say it's theory, they always come back to so many million years ago when evolutionary takes place. They always start like that. And so many billions of years when Big Bang takes place. They always do this. And that to some extent is a misrepresentation of the data that they have found, or how they're reading and interpreting. And so that's why we have to preach boldly and try to understand the philosophy nicely, how it is really. So I'll stop here. I don't know if there's any correction, question. Okay, Prabhu.
There's a little comment. That is it. It's quite noticeable that
closer. Yeah, it's, just keep it close.
It is quite noticeable in this particular Leela of the Mahabharata that Krishna has chosen to have this pastime among family members. It is so much easier to quarrel and fight with non-family members.
Mm-hmm.
But you have chosen this ghastly pastime, a Leela, to be executed among family members, wherein the topmost leaf of the Vedic tree is spoken, which is Bhagavad Gita.
There's what?
The topmost leaf of the Vedic tree is spoken, Bhagavad Gita, which involves the laws of the Lord. It is like the Lord's law book. So significant. And what is, to me, what is most significant about the Gita is that he teaches and preaches about we are spiritual beings and not material. So the environment or the impetus that he used to provoke or to establish this this significant point about being spiritual is performed among family members instead of strangers. It is so much more of a difficult situation. So the point of bringing out the fact that we are spiritual and not material would be more conspicuous, more standing. That Arjuna had to kill his, you know, fight among his family members than if he had to fight among complete strangers.
Yeah.
So that is quite noticeable.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. And in fact, that brought out the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita even more clearly, because it was actually showing how Arjuna was on this bodily concept, thinking, well, this is my family members and so forth. And then how he explained about, well, really, we're not this body and we're spirit soul, and how we take different births and so forth. So definitely that's there, and that's interesting. So we have to know the difference between the two, that he came, most of his family members, they came to assist him in the Leela, in the pastime. One, the foremost of his duty was to perform Leela or pastime with these devotees. See, that was the foremost. And then also to establish Dharma back, to preach Dharma. And then also to vanquish the, what you would say, the demonic kings and so forth. Because they were, you know, the Varnashram system was actually becoming null and void, coming into Kaliyuga. Had these powerful personalities who had demonic qualities stayed, then Kaliyuga would even be in a more mess today too, you see. So, rightly, like you said, I mean, it took place through the family members, but once we understand the philosophy, then it's not a problem for us. You know, it's not a problem that especially when the Yadu dynasty was vanquished, all family members and so, we don't become disturbed by it, because we understand the Lord Leela fully, and we understand our position fully as Jivira Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nityananda. Any other point?
I have a comment and a question. Thank you for your very nice class. On this subject of science and religion, you know, I don't see so much of a competition, or that somehow we need to beat the scientists down or something like that. You know, science has its own realm. It studies the material world, and the conclusions that science makes are sometimes very valid, sometimes not. And most scientists would also agree with that there's more that they don't know than they do know. When they discover new things, like they discover this head you're talking about, what that does for us, it simply supports what we already know. What it does for them, it tells them that they don't know anything. They don't know as much as they think they know, and it creates more questions. And 99% of scientists are not atheists who believe that, you know, only our way works. What they realize when they do study things, that the world is very complex, very amazing, and most of them understand that this is not done by chance. Whether they'll admit that in their studies or not is different. But, you know, if we try to simply beat down the scientists or say that, you know, it's our way or no way, we become fanatics, and we kind of sound like a lot of radical groups that don't, you know, use their intelligence and logic in making decisions. And that's what people in the world are going to look at when they decide what matters to them. If somebody comes across as fanatical and says, oh, no, everything you say in science is incorrect, this is ridiculous, we're going to sound like we're scared of them. But really, our philosophy is so deep and so profound that we can incorporate everything that science will present us, and it fits very comfortably within our philosophy.
Very good, very good. And first, I'm happy that you spoke so long, because you're usually silent in the corner. So that's the first thing. I'm happy that you spoke out. You've spoken out. And then you defend them to some degree, and that's very good. Actually, that was the reason why Plato had asked his students to get scientific and to prove old wife tales and so forth. You see, that was there. But not to be in conflict with the scriptures, but to support the scriptures. Archimedes and Aristotle and these other guys, they were supposed to complement the scriptures by their scientific finding. And definitely, and scientists are actually doing that to a great degree. But of course, there's a great percentage that are becoming atheistic and you know, hold that view. And so I think it is those that we are a little heavy on rail. But generally, there are most of them that are conscientious, and they know there's a God. There are so many scientists that believe in God, and they're in different religion and so forth. So definitely, your point is well taken. It's very valid, really. And, you know, of course, we'll try to be very careful not to bash them so hardly. You know, but only the atheistic ones. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.